don't know how we do those things. They just work out every time. Thank you, Louise. So I once had a professor in seminary who spent a fair amount of lecture time explaining how all of the miracles found in the Hebrew Bible could be explained scientifically. Extra oil for 8 nights, Red Sea's parting, locusts and manna, and rising from the dead. She had a reasonable 21st century explanation for all of it. Her Christian faith was not especially troubled by this apparent natural theism one bit. Miracles were metaphors. God still spoke powerfully through the laws of nature. Life in all its infinite possibility could be miracle enough. It was a kind of Hanukkah miracle, this thinking that within nature there still was a sufficient amount of mystery and possibility to keep humanity afloat. I enjoyed that feeling of enough wonder without the trappings of the impossible to grasp at. She actually was pretty radical at a conservative seminary, almost but not quite Unitarian Universalist. One of ours, Thomas Jefferson, famously cut out the miracles from his version of the Bible, and he did this with a Unitarian conviction in the use of reason in religion. His rejection of miracles is still common among us. On one level, it's still mine. As the only Unitarian Universalist in that seminary classroom, that teacher challenged me to do something other than scoff at the faith in miracles of others. In that interfaith setting, my translations of others' prayers and ideas needed some fine-tuning. Sometimes they were not being as literal as I tended to judge. Sometimes they were. Either way, miracles should not take such hard work to parse. And I think my mic is going in and out. No? I hear it. Okay. It's good. So a miracle is a wonder, a delight that surprises. Witnessing one should be easy to grasp rather than a struggle to accept. Demanding belief in something that does not make sense still feels entirely wrong to me. But beyond the first definition of miracle found in the dictionary, which involves divine and supernatural agency, there is a whole world of simple amazement and deeper meaning to explore. This ancient idea of miracles still stirs us here in 2018. It is because there is so much wrong. We want to wonder what could possibly miraculously turn things right. This is where I want to go with this Hanukkah's miracle of enough. I'm not asking you to believe in a miracle that happened long ago. Instead, I'm asking us all to believe that there is still enough dedication in human community to clean up our messes. I need to believe that there is enough energy and will to recover and re-sanctify our home after so much tragedy and loss. This resilience of the human spirit is not to be dismissed quickly. Dedication may be the miracle. Our dedication may be the miracle we need to turn the corner towards a more sustainable and loving existence. On any given day, we can look around and see several possible paths forward in this human drama. The news always raises these questions in my heart. Will we destroy one another out of fear? Will the flirting with fascism around the world lead us to our own destruction? Will our refusal to stop burning the Earth's resources and poisoning ourselves send us careening toward an inevitable extinction? We, this human species, seem bent on testing the limits of our own resilience. Our salvation from our own short-sightedness and hubris is far from assured. What is the purpose of a miracle story in this pivotal moment for humanity? Why keep telling them and trying to understand what they mean? Somewhere deep inside, hope for a miracle or two waits within us. Perhaps this yearning is there to remind us of our own resilience. Our own endurance in the face of so much hate is a kind of miracle. We have resilience built into us as it is built into nature and all that is. It's not infinite or without limits, but resilience does prompt something else out of us, a curiosity and a creativity that we need to survive for at least a few more generations. Albert Einstein wrote, "There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle." I usually choose the everything is a miracle path, choosing to see the holy in both everything and even in nothing. But today, this choice of everything or nothing is not sufficient to this Hanukkah celebration. This holiday asks us to expect just enough miracle to change the course of history. But not so much that we do not have some serious work to do. Maybe we will have actually survived if we step away from our insistence and committed belief that there is not enough to go around. Not enough oil, not enough hope and love, or simple human reason and resilience, along with the willingness to work and sacrifice for our own survival. A miracle is at the heart of this abundance. When human beings act as if there is enough to go around, we are less invested in thinking about us and them. When we cast our gaze upon those we do not know with friendly expectation, the meeting is more likely to be peaceful and beneficial for all involved. When we are close enough to know each other's hearts and hurts and hopes, we are more likely to be generous and give to assure another's survival along with our own. When we choose to trust each other enough to live creatively with the tensions of our interdependence, we find that respect has the greatest value. So let's listen one more time to the story. It is mythic. It has layers of meaning unpacked by Jews year after year in order to find the most telling layer for the present. In the year 167 BCE, the Greek king Antiochus Epiphanes attempted to Hellenize Jerusalem. Jewish practices included the observance of Shabbat were forbidden. The temple in Jerusalem was co-opted and used to worship the cult of Zeus. A small band of guerrilla fighters known as the Maccabees rose up to fight the Greeks, and against all odds, they were able to reclaim the temple for the Jews. They relit the holy lamp, and though they had only enough oil for one day, the flame lasted for 8 days, a miracle which the Maccabees took as confirmation that their covenant with Yahweh, the covenant that marked them as chosen people, remained intact. In memory of this miracle, Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days, starting in the lunar month of Kislev. For us Unitarian Universalists, Hanukkah offers us an opportunity to delve into an important question. When things happen that desecrate or destabilize our lives, things that break our heart, undermine our faith in humanity, or in some other way break our trust, what do we do then? How do we reconsecrate and rededicate ourselves? How do we reclaim our innate resilience and confirm our faith in the abundant goodness of life? The key to cleaning up these messes we find ourselves in, the miracle needed, along with eating a few latkes and donuts, is to reach for an extra dose of possibility. Reach for a forgiveness that allows the heart and mind and body to move forward with expectation that good things can still happen. Allow for resilience in our relationships and in our work together as a community, where each person is valued and respected despite our differences. All is not lost if we lean upon each other, expecting that simple kind of miracle today. Reverend Lynn Unger wrote this beautiful poem. Come down from the hills, declare the fighting done. Be bold, declare victory, even when the temple is wrecked and the tyrants have not retreated. Only coiled back like a snake prepared to strike again. Come down. Try to remember a life gentled by daily acts of domestic faith. The pot set to boil, the bed made up, the table set in calm expectation that when the sun sets, we will still be here. Come down and settle. Unlearn the years of hiding. Light fires that can be seen for miles, that dance and spark and warm the frozen marrow. Set lamps in the window. Declare your presence, your loyalties, the truths for which you do not expect to have to die. It would take a miracle, you say, to carve such a solid life out of the shell of fear. I say you are the stuff from which such miracles are made. It is so easy to go about being armed and ready for battle at any moment. It's so easy to believe that all is irrevocably lost already. It is not so easy to believe that your life and my life and every particular life we know and still cannot know is deserving of a solid life without fear. Being armed and ready for a fight will set our minds for battle, but will not create the possibility of peace. The miracle, the patterns of miracles for humanity, has been this ability to shift from one state to another. Hate and aggression are not sustainable, nor are they sustaining to human community. We cannot thrive there even when we seem to be winning. Crushing others, dehumanizing others and ourselves only hastens the end of all life as we know it. So the miracle, the one that I pray for every day, is that humanity might step back from that terrible edge and take a deep breath. Remember who we are. Unlearn war and set ourselves to learning how to survive and thrive again. Lynn Unger writes from this place in the wreckage. All of us have at some point in our life, maybe right now, stood in the midst of ruined, desecrated, filthy temple, sacred objects defiled, in what could be despair, and look around and pick up a broom. Look around to find what the next thing to do was. Look around to see what it was that we could do to push things towards being whole, even when it seemed like they would never be whole again. Maybe that's happened to you in the end of a marriage that you thought was going to be for a lifetime. Maybe it's happened when someone you counted on to be there for you died. Maybe it's happened with the serious illness of a child or a chronic illness that leaves you fatigued and aching. Maybe it's happened with a colicky baby and night after night of no sleep, and there you are in the ruined temple with no way forward that looks like it's going to be right. And still you manage. You manage to find that little bit of oil, that spark of hope, of possibility, of faith and love, that some sacred vessel that keeps you going, that keeps you restoring stone by stone the temple that was ruined, that helps you to mop up what will, in fact, never be the same as it was. Maybe you stand in the middle of the ruined temple looking at the oncoming onslaught of climate change and politicians who dither and delay, and it seems like everything is cracking. Maybe you look at the succession of unarmed black men who are killed by police who are supposed to keep us safe, and you feel a little bit more of that foundation crumbling beneath you. But then you do what it is we do. Lynn is so right. We handle it because it's just what we do. We carry the flame. We hold on to the light. Sometimes we even managed to hold on to the light enough to serve as a shamash candle, that servant candle that is used to light all the other candles of the menorah. Sometimes the reason that the light lasts is because we hand it on, because we make that light of hope keep burning in someone else. And so across generation to generation, through ruined temple and ruined temple, the light keeps burning all across our beautiful, broken, and unending string of lives. You know, we know that the Maccabees were flawed heroes. They were guerrilla warriors. Retaking the temple involved killing lots of people, including Jews who refused to take part in their revolt. The brutality of this story is not what we celebrate today. It never is the military victory that sustains human community. It is the second part of the story, the moment when they are sifting through the wreckage and finding the holy lamp and lighting it. That is the moment when human dignity begins to be restored. It's a moment when the armor and weapons are cast off and we turn again towards love and towards simple human kindness. They are dialing it back, taking a deep breath and recommitting to mercy and compassion and moral principles. They are turning from the wreckage and rekindling the light of their covenant. The word Hanukkah means rededication. It's not just the temple that is being reclaimed as holy ground, though. The Maccabees in that moment are rededicating their lives to the higher purpose of creating beloved community, a task that is at the core of all religions worthy of the title. These 8 days offer us the opportunity to let go of our fears, our cynicism and self-condemnation. With each light we kindle on the menorah, we can reflect on everyday miracles, the ones we can create, like forgiveness and healing, acceptance, beauty, and laughter and love. We can feel our inner goodness, that light rekindling and growing stronger in spite of everything that would seek to diminish us. With each light we kindle, we rededicate ourselves to the work of healing the world, in whatever manner lies within our power. We resist the urge to exert power over others. We resist the temptation to violence, whether physical, emotional, or otherwise, shaming and blaming ourselves or someone else. And we choose instead kindness. We choose to restore order. We choose love over and over and over again. It is just what we do. So may our totally natural and still wondrous miracle be to restore the dignity of all who have been broken and desecrated today. May the humble task of cleaning up once more, restoring hope, blessing what is, be miracle enough for 2018. May this light we carry in our turn last a little longer on our watch.